Morning, birds. I'm back. I know. Thank you for the get well wishes. I'm doing better. A little bit throaty on the voice. I had to hurry back though, birds, because I've got a special thing today. You know, morning radio. We do all kinds of breakfast things, and you do. You know, bacon and eggs, soy milk and granola. But I had to hurry back today because today it's cheese and beer.
Criticize me, but I'm going to do just as I want to anyway, and don't care just what people say. If I should take a notion to jump into the ocean, ain't nobody's business if I do. If I go to church on Sunday, then cabaret all day Monday, ain't nobody's business if I do. If my man ain't got no money, and I say take all of mine, honey, ain't nobody's business if I do. If I give him my last nickel and it leaves me in a pickle, ain't nobody's business if I do. Well, I'd rather my man would hit me than for him to jump up and quit me. Ain't nobody's business if I do. I swear I won't call no copper if I'm beat up by my papa. Ain't nobody's business if I do. Nobody's business. Ain't nobody's business. Nobody's business if I do.
This is Billie Holiday. It's her birthday today. She has a birth anniversary. Born on this day in 1915 in Philadelphia. Her real name, Eleonora Fagan. I did not know that. We know her music. And who wrote that one? That's a standard. She co-wrote that one. Ain't nobody's business if I do. Hey, it's Gary Lee Wright. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to apologize for my throaty voice here. I just have a little bit of coming off of a little bit of a cold here. Anyway, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. It's 5 after the hour on a Wednesday. This is the 7th of April. We're loaded for bear today. We're going to talk cheese. We are. Come on. You don't like cheese? I'm sorry. You came to the wrong show today. We have a master, a Wisconsin master cheese maker coming on in a while here. And we have paired it with beer. This is also National Beer Day. So, you know what? That's our distraction. Hitting the news very quickly here, likely legal vaccine passports are emerging as the next coronavirus divide. That's the New York Times headline this morning. What is that? Businesses and schools are considering digital proof of vaccination as a path to reviving the economy and getting Americans back to work and play. What's the problem with that? Well, conservative politicians have turned the notion of passports into a cultural flashpoint, calling it a government intrusion on privacy. Yeah. Why don't we do without stoplights? Huh? Come on. Hey, I'm going to let those Democrats tell us where we can turn. In Arkansas, lawmakers ban youth transgender treatment and surgeries, overriding the governor's veto. So this bill down in Arkansas, I don't know what to make of it. I'll tell you a quick personal thought, and we will talk about transgender, something I know nothing about. Anyway, Dayline Fort Smith this morning, Arkansas legislator, overrode the governor's veto. This was a bill to ban transitional surgeries and hormone supplements for anyone under 18 in the state. The House voted to override it. That bill makes Arkansas the first state to ban gender-confirming treatments and surgery for transgender youth. Way to go, Arkansas. It prohibits doctors, Jesus, to be number one in that one, prohibits doctors from providing a gender-confirming hormone treatment, puberty blockers, or surgery to anybody under 18, or from referring them to other providers. The bill does not have a provision for youth currently transitioning. That bill was vetoed by the governor, but after pleas from pediatricians, social workers, parents, who said that the measure would harm a community already at risk for depression and suicide. You know what? Can I divert for a second? I'm not sure how this relates. 8 after the hour here. You know, we get on the radio here, and I flatter myself to think that I know a little bit about some stuff here, enough to fake it. Not that I would be dishonest with you, but, no one purports to be an expert in everything, anything. Transgender, wow, what an area I know nothing about. I don't think I know any transgender people. I know nothing about I don't know nothing about it. Let's leave it there. And I'm going to try to educate myself. So we will, God willing, and the creek don't rise, we'll interview some folks if they want to come on, talk about their side of this. All right. So, can I say one thing? Some years ago, I don't know if this relates, but I think it kind of does. Some years ago, it seemed to be all about bathrooms. People were, well, what bathroom should you be using? Well, you can't use that. So I'm working out in a radio group, for a radio group, a number of radio stations out in Iowa, as a matter of fact. And they had, I think we had like 5 live morning shows, which means at the top of the hour, we get 5 of me trying to get down and use the bathroom. Right? Can you picture that? And as I remember it, I don't know that it was like men, women, Billy Nanny. I don't remember how the doors were labeled, but the point of the matter is they function as a unisex bathroom. And that's just how it was. You got to go, you got to go. Why am I telling this story? Because I'm trying to find some way to touch base with people who seem to have some prejudice. Was I uncomfortable using a bathroom designed for the other gender? Yes. But I got over it. I did. I got over it. That's all I'm going to say about this. I don't know what we got to get over. We got to get over something here. So let's try to figure out what's happening. Jeez, what a group of people to pick on. All right, enough said. Vice President Kamala Harris was in Chicago yesterday, joined by Illinois top Democrats. She touted efforts to expand vaccination sites in underserved communities. As the White House announced, all adults in the U.S. will be eligible for vaccines by April 19th. That's good. Well, we're eligible, you know, so. All right. And finally, geez, I do my diligence in the morning trying to find all the news for you that we can deal with. I got a story about hummingbirds coming up. You'll like that one. And then finally, what do we got here? Okay. This is from BuzzFeed. 19 of the saddest songs people have ever listened to. Whoa. Well, maybe a little bit later. Matthews Band on Pirate Radio from Chicago on a Wednesday morning. It's nice outside, 37 degrees as we go on the air. It's going to hit 70 today in the Windy City. And I'm back, and Aaron Mittens is, he wasn't ill, but he's back as well. Morning, Aaron.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, I have the hummingbirds lined up for later and all kinds of stuff. So anyway, what's up today? You have a question for me, it looks like.
Yeah, so did you have any dogs?
Yeah.
What kind?
Oh, jeez. Mutts? I had a dog. My first pet was named Zero. And my mother, I think he was a nothing. This is a dog that started life with a very low self-esteem. So he was called Zero. I don't know. I guess he was like, gosh, I can't. I'm not good at breeds. Currently, I'm involved with my grand dog. I don't know what he is either. And then there's another.
Was Zero trained? Sorry.
Yeah, trained. If you call, see, that was the era, Aaron, of odd photos. If you call sitting him up and putting a pair of glasses on him and then taking a picture of him and making him sit there the way my mother did, yes, he was trained. he was trained to pose. So why do you ask?
Yeah, so today, the other day I ran across some videos on YouTube connected to the, sorry, let me get this right. There's this organization out of Yale University where they're trying to get to the edge of how far animals can communicate with humans. Wow. So the Comparative Cognition Lab out of Yale University, and they're specifically, they have a section of it, the Dog Cognition Study, which ironically has cats and rats in it.
Yeah.
But so you remember that old commercial, the Staples button, you click it and it said, that was easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
So basically they take these buttons, different colors, and they're reprogrammable. And you can put different words behind these buttons. And it started off with this dog, Stella, who was trained to use an outside button. And then over time, her owner added more and more buttons and more complexity. And then if you have clip one there, this is kind of like in the middle of Stella's progression. And you can hear her trying to use these buttons to have different words and creating a sentence out of them.
Stella wants to go play outside? All right.
Yeah, so there you have. So the first button that she ever learned was outside,
yeah.
Right? So A, you know, that's pretty.
That's where I would start.
Right. So that was pretty cool when I saw that. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And I started digging deeper. Then I found this other dog, Bunny.
Bunny?
And this is where.
Bunny.
Bunny.
Yeah.
A sheepadoodle. A sheepdog poodle mixed.
Oh, okay.
Didn't know those existed, but yeah. Hey. God is still out here creating dogs. But, So this is so this one, you just play it and then I will talk about it afterwards. This one really caught my interest.
Did you just say, who this, and then look in the mirror? Who this? That's Bunny. That's Bunny. What's wrong, Bubba? How can I help? Where do you want to settle? Do you want to settle couch? You want to settle couch with Mom? And think about your existence.
did Stella settle down? I couldn't quite hear what was going on. Yeah, tell us exactly what was going on there.
Yeah, so that was Bunny, and she has, I think, 36 buttons as of now.
Wow.
So you could kind of hear it, but she looked in the mirror, and she hits two buttons. Who this? Who is this? And she looks in the mirror, and her owner walks up and goes, did you just ask who you're so that to me, not going too into detail, was like, okay, this is a little more interesting. She's thinking in English for one, and she's recognizing her reflection and asking a question of her owner. You know, Jane Goodall, who did the primate studies and can teach primates sign language. One thing that the primates never did was ask questions of the humans, anticipating they would have more information than they did. So this was really interesting when I saw this. And I'm thinking, okay, a dog is, oh, who's this? And the reflection, cool, interesting.
See, I always... Go ahead. I'm just going to say, we always... I'm always seeing that, you know, we don't exactly know what dogs see or hear or think, but the idea of even do they see as we do, but the idea is of Stella looking at her reflection.
Huh. Yes, yes. It's really interesting.
What are some of the other buttons she has?
Yeah, so there are a bunch of buttons here. So basically, Stella was the first, and then out of that spawned the cognition lab, the comparative cognition lab, and then, you know, kind of got pushed onto more dogs, and they said, okay, how about we try to make this more standardize this process? So they have a standard list of, you know, buttons that they use, and here they have outside, treat, walk, scritches, which means pets, like you want to scratch their ears or something like that.
Scritches.
Mom, dad, and then so there's, you know, different types of buttons. It can be any number of concepts. Then they take it a step further, and they have these little mats that you place on the floor, hexagons that stick together, and each hexagon has a slot for like 9 buttons. And you can have a who button or who mat. So this mat is all people names that you know of. Or you may have like a object button. These are bed, toy, you know, yada 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 yada.
You sent me a picture, and it looks like and these are buttons on the floor. We should let people know. I mean, it's like Twister, kind of. Twister for dogs. Jeez. I heard, though, hang on a second. We'll come back and resolve it. I heard that Stella screwed up and accidentally hit reply all.
It happens in the best of places. In the best of families.
Daddy, you forgot. Every litter bit hurts.
Right, Susan Spotless. Every litter bit, thoughtlessly dropped, blemishes a bit of America. Our highways, our streets, our picnic spots. Keeping America beautiful is a family affair. Keep your highways handsome. Carry a litter bag in the car and use it. Keep your streets neat by using a litter basket. Keep your parks pretty. Put that litter in its place. Remember, be on guard against unconscious littering. As Susan Spotless says, keep America beautiful. Make it a family project.
Please, please, don't be a litter bug.
Stella! Damn it! I just can't get her to look at the Spotless button there. My mind is racing with questions. So, yeah. Did you have a dog? Would you like to have a dog like this?
Yeah, in my life, I've had 3 dogs. Uh-huh. I've always been interested with animal intelligence. I don't know if I want to have a dog this smart, honestly.
They make it sound, as I said, you sent me a picture. They make it sound like Stella could be anyone, any dog. If you have the right software... All right, your dog can now do long division. I don't buy that. I do not accept the premise there, but all right, we're going to do more about that.
Well, funny enough, the dogs that are trained on this, the most successful ones are genetically, they're known to be more intelligent dogs. They have more neurosynapses in their brain. So is a bit of a, you know.
Did they call out the breed that's the smartest?
Actually, poodles are, I think, up there. Poodles are way up there. German Shepherds are a bit below that. But usually they're the European dogs that were used in like the farms for like herding sheep or for certain tactical, you know, things that were when we were first getting into the modern age. Those are typically the dogs that are the smartest.
There's a lot of animal racism here behind the scenes. Breedism. You're being a breedist.
Hey, I don't make the rules. No, I'm kidding.
Aaron Minton's on the line here. Hey, while I was sick a couple of days, I got a chance to read a lot of stuff that I didn't go back to. And I saw an article on Bitcoin. And most of what I know about Bitcoin, you told me, but it was saying that Bitcoin is now kind of, you know, accepted, more or less. And I was thinking, I couldn't get over the, you know, the idea that Bitcoin, it isn't anything. You know, it's just we have an agreement. And then I was thinking, Aaron, as you know, there's somewhere, there's a $100,000 bill. They used to make them. Woodrow Wilson is on it. I don't have one, you know. And if I had one, it'd be worth more than that. But the difference between Bitcoin, which doesn't have anything on it, and Woodrow Wilson, which is just a picture of Woodrow Wilson, what I'm saying is that, I looked it up, it's like 50 grand a Bitcoin. So you get two Bitcoins for a picture of Wilson. You see where I'm going with this? They're equivalent, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm ready to buy in. Now, how much? Now, I don't have the 50 grand. Do you have your half? But could we get, seriously, I want to know, what is the minimum amount of Bitcoin that we could, as a show, invest in? What would that be?
Okay. So let me actually check right this second. So on Robinhood, they allow you to buy portions of cryptocurrency.
Okay.
So you don't need to buy the entire thing. But yeah, you're right. Right now is around 56,766.
Okay.
Big yikes. But you can buy one. Yeah. Let's see, what's the minimum? If I put a dollar here, I can buy 0.0000172 Bitcoins.
Is that
for
right?
A dollar.
Wow. Yeah.
So you can, let me see if it lets me go through, because sometimes they have a percentage limit. Nope. So you can, the minimum that you can put into it right now is $10, which is not bad.
I'll do that.
Not bad.
In fact, listen, I want people to know what a magnanimous guy I am. I'm going to cover your half. All right.
Appreciate it.
Oh, my goodness. Aaron Minton's our news baron, and now is my fund manager. So there's a lot going on. All right, say hi to Stella, and whatever that meant. All right, you have a good day today.
All right, you as well.
Gee, wow. I'm going to go install some new buttons in my own floor here.
Listen to that third clip on your own time when you get the chance.
Oh, hang on. Let's do it right now.
Love you, Bunny.
Love you, Bunny. That was please and thank you.
Thank you. Love you, Mom.
So thank you. Love you, Mom.
So the dog steps on this and then it generates these voices?
Why?
So the owner programs it.
Why? Mom, good.
Mom, good. I don't want my dog talking like that.
So,
Mom,
sorry.
Good. Love you, Bunny. What? What? Love you? I don't know how to answer that. What? I don't know how to answer these why questions.
The dog's doing fine, but the woman's lost.
Yes, yes.
She needs a hint. And that's it? Which one of them left? Do you know?
The dog. So, sorry, that wasn't as clear. So they're talking back and forth. It starts off with the owner saying, trying to, egg her on, and they're going back and forth. And at the end, you can see it, but she fast forwarded because when she couldn't really get an answer that she liked, she just walked in a circle, kind of like panting, then said outside. And then she said, okay, you can go. Like, I need to think. I need some space. Oh. That to me is like a soul. That has to be.
Yeah. Well, Stella's obviously a lot smarter than the woman involved. I mean, I'm just, this is, well, I'm going crazy with all this stuff. You know, Jerry Seinfeld did a routine once. And he said that if aliens were looking at the planet from outer space and they saw, pet owners cleaning up after the animals, they would have a different, view of the hierarchy down here.
Right. They're the ones running the show.
That's exactly right. Oh, my goodness. Aaron, you always give me a lot to think about.
Appreciate it.
And we're going to, the woman with Stella, I hope she's listening because we're going to talk about beer right now. And I think she's had a couple. good night. Hootie and the Blowfish at 33 after the hour. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. It's Gary Lee Wright and a little bit of a head cold, but there's nothing better for a head cold than some beer and some cheese. And I believe we're going to zip into both of those things. This is National Beer Day, as a matter of fact. This is the day, I think this is the reason on this day in 1933, President Roosevelt took the first step toward ending prohibition. He signed a law that allowed people to brew and sell beer as long as they remained below 4.0%. You brew beer, that's not a lot of alcohol. Anyway, what do you want to have when you have a nice cold beer? You want to have some cheese. And we have a very special guest here. Steve Stettler joins us from Decatur Dairy in Wisconsin, behind the cheddar curtain. And Steve is a licensed Wisconsin master cheese maker. Steve, good morning.
Good morning.
Is that all true, what I just said?
That's all true, yes.
Are you a native Badger?
I'm a Badger through and through, yes.
Wow. Where is Decatur's in Wisconsin, I'm assuming. I don't know where that is.
Yeah, Decatur Dairy's outside of Broadhead, Wisconsin, which is about 40 miles south of Madison.
40 miles south. Jeez.
Yeah, we're about 8 miles from the Illinois line.
Wow, I missed you. I got to come up and see. I didn't know we were so close. So, you know what I know about cheese? I know a fair amount about beer, but just kidding. I'm guessing that cheese probably was originated as a way to store and transport milk. I'm guessing that's true. And what happened after that?
Well, I mean, cheese has just evolved, you know. I mean, a lot of immigrants come over from Switzerland, Germany, and started making cheese over here years ago, and that's kind of how it took off, and everybody's kind of just let it grow since then.
In Wisconsin, I know that the dairy industry is, you know, it's so important. everything's regulated. Margarine used to be illegal in Wisconsin because it's not made with, you know, dairy products. So knowing that you're licensed, what was the process of that? To get a license to do anything in Wisconsin involving the dairy is a big deal. How long?
Yeah, Wisconsin is the only state that has licensed cheesemakers. And now, I mean, back when I got mine, I got a few years on me, you know. I just kind of read a book my dad had, and I went up to the Wisconsin Department of Ag and took the test and got my cheesemaker's license. But now you have to take a course at UW-Madison, and it's about a 4.5-day course. And it goes through all the processes and legalities of making cheese. And I've taken it. It's a very good course. And then after you're through that course and you do an apprenticeship, I believe it's 6 months, then you can get a license.
Full disclosure, my daughter, Smiley, who occasionally appears on the show, went to UW-Madison. I did. And I don't think she took that course, and I don't even think she knew about it, or she would have mentioned that. To drop the needle anywhere, what's your favorite cheese?
Oh, boy. You know, I get asked that all the time. I mean, it depends on the day. I mean, I like everything. I grew up in a Swiss cheese factory, so Swiss cheese is kind of dear to me. You know, my uncle made cheddar, so an aged cheddar, you know, I've been eating that since I was a little fart, and you know, but now there's so many different things, blue cheese, and then like the stuff we're making is a Havarti and Munster and a good brick cheese. I mean, it just depends on the day. There's so many varieties out there, and now with cheese spreads, I mean, there's so many options. I don't know how you can have a favorite.
I was going to ask you about cheese curds. Now, for anybody listening to me that's not in the Midwest here, a cheese curd is a little like a mozzarella stick, only it's not mozzarella and it's not a stick. It's a little ball. And around where I live here, and, you know, as we go into Wisconsin, every place you go to has their cheese curd. And I once tried to make a cheese curd. Steve, I wound up freezing the cheese curd. I'm going to ask you about that. Anyway, I was going to ask you about all of this. You have a high degree of expertise in cheese curdery, yeah? Talk about that.
Well, I'm a master cheesemaker, and one of my quests in the program was to get cheese curd as a master cheese, and I just had a few guys on the committee over the years that said, hey, if you make cheddar, if you have a master in cheddar, you can call your cheddar curd a master cheese. And so I went along with that, and I got a master in cheddar, and I got a master in Munster, and I got a master in brick. And, I mean, I was making curds out of all that, but it's still, at the end of the day, curds are such a standalone product in Wisconsin that I thought it needed to be a master cheese. So I took it back to the board, and they finally approved it as a master cheese. So I got in the program, and I am the first certified master cheesemaker with a cheese curd certification.
You're killing me with this. How about ranch dressing? You wanna ring in on that? Do you dip your curds in ranch?
Well, we came across a company that makes salad dressing mixtures, and it kind of piqued my interest. So we do a ranch cheese curd, and we take the ranch mix and we add it to the cheese curd, and it turns out really good. I mean, we've done that with several versions of salad dressing mixtures or even flavorings, you know, herb and garlic, and we have tomato, bacon, basil. Jeez. I mean, it just, there's so many varieties of flavors out there. And, you know, we do a blue curd where we take a blue cheese mixture and roll the curd in it. I mean, there's just, we do quite a few different varieties that you just don't find everywhere on the shelf.
My mouth is watering. In fact, there's a puddle under my desk now.
We sell a lot of curds. Matter of fact, I roll in here about 4:30 in the morning, and the first thing we do for about 2.5 hours is get all the curd out for the day, because it's fresh. We make, I mean, most of our curd is not even 48 hours old. I mean, it's usually 2-3 hours old during the day, but sometimes you have a little left over, but our curd is extremely fresh every day.
You know, I was going to say, now most people don't eat cheese for breakfast. That's not true in other cultures. Some of them do, and I'm ready. I gotta tell you. So, do you drink beer, Steve? I don't want to out you on the air here. Have you ever tasted beer yourself?
I've been known to have a beer or two. Yes,
I have a. Let me just. This is not a product placement. Reaching across, I have a bottle. Speaking of, let's work with Madison here on the map. Madison in the state capital. It's where the University of Wisconsin at Madison is. You're a little bit south of that. A little bit northwest of that is a place called New Glarus, G-L-A-R-U-S. And as you know, Steve, I think it's like an old Belgian village. And they have a brewery there that people like. They make all these different things. And I have a bottle of Spotted Cow in my hand right now. It's undeniable that cheese, there's a lot of cheese in Wisconsin, and there's a lot of beer in Wisconsin, and you tend to pair it up. People ask you about that, how to get a good pairing.
Oh, they ask me all the time, you know, about wine, and wine is also another big thing, you know, cheese and wine.
Yeah.
You know, beer, I mean, there's the tastes are evolving so much, and people are mixing and matching everything, and beer is, that is the direction I tend to go, and I mean, beer and cheese just seem to go together really well.
Yeah. Do you know what a cheese it is?
A cheese it?
Cheese it.
You know, yeah, I know what a cheese it is.
My daughter.
I didn't mean to
insult you. My daughter, Smiley, asked me, she said, when you have this guy on, ask him what cheese is in Cheez-It. Do you have any idea what she's talking about?
I know what she's talking about.
Yeah,
it's a cheddar, and now they're making a white cheddar Cheez-It. And I have to say, I've had both of them, and I can't say I'm not addicted to them, but I don't put the box down either when one's open.
What else do you cook with cheese? You make macaroni and cheese, for example?
Well, macaroni and cheese is a whole different subject. When I was growing up, my mom made homemade macaroni and cheese. So you take some half and half and some cheese and some real cheese, you melt it down, and you put it on the macaroni. It's not like the Kraft macaroni and cheese that all the kids crave today, you know. A good lasagna with ricotta and a good mozz is kind of hard to beat, you know. And then there's just the fondue, you know, and whether you're gonna add a little kirsch, you know, you have wine in it already, or you put a little Korbel in it. I mean, you can do anything with fondue. And it creates an interesting event.
You said kirsch. The Wisconsin alarm went off again.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know what kirsch is, and it's a liquor, and I mean, it comes out of Switzerland. You know, a lot of it does, and I mean, they make it here, but me being a Swiss guy, I kind of got to have the Swiss stuff.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it depends on how much you put in the fondue also.
It's quarter before the hour here. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. And one of our neighbors, not so very far from where I'm sitting here, is Decatur, Wisconsin. And that's the home of Decatur Dairy. And that's the home of Steve Stettler, who is a licensed Wisconsin master cheesemaker. And, you know, I was thinking, Steve, how cheese is kind of, for example, macaroni and cheese is now all like on every menu as a side dish. And it's much different than it used to be. Fondue, we used to go, I can think when there were three fondue restaurants within a mile of where I'm sitting now. So we always do. And then you get, you know, queso fundido, which is like, you know, Spanish language fondue.
Yep.
So I don't know. Are we eating more cheese than we used to?
Cheese is, you know, if you went back 30 years ago, everybody wanted mild, plain, ordinary cheese, and now people are out seeking different cheeses, different flavors, really hot cheeses, ghost pepper cheese, things like that.
Mm.
Usage is up. I mean, demand is good. There's still a lot of milk around, but cheese production and cheese demand, you know, especially during the COVID times, was probably at an all-time high.
Yeah. I just love all this. Come back and see us. I'll tell you what, seriously, I'm going to come up and see you. I didn't know you were this close.
And we're, you know, we do grilled cheese sandwiches here. You know, we have a Three Mousketeer and, you know, we have a Pickalicious. And, I mean, we do pickles and dill Havarti. And, I mean, we do different things with a grilled cheese, and that was just something we started as a fluke that turned into, it's just turned into a really good project, put it that way.
And there's no Velveeta within 100 miles of where you are.
Yeah, there's no Velveeta, and I very seldom have anybody ask for an American grilled cheese sandwich,
yeah.
American cheese grilled cheese sandwich. We have too many different varieties here for him to pick from.
I'm so hungry. Steve Stettler, Stettler. It's Decatur Dairy, Decatur Dairy in Decatur, Wisconsin.
Well, it's Broadhead, Wisconsin. It's Decatur.
I'm sorry.
Decatur Township.
What are we? I don't think I have a website here.
Yeah, we have a website, and we're on Facebook. I mean, we're kind of everywhere. I mean, we're not too hard to find.
All right. I'm going to come up and see you. A master cheese maker from Wisconsin. Hey, give me a highlight from the Master's Cheese Program. One thing.
It's a fantastic program for cheese makers. It creates a network and a bond among cheese makers that give you different directions and different ideas on how to do a process. And it's, as a cheesemaker, it's the most meaningful program you can be a part of, and it creates a brotherhood with other cheesemakers that if you have an issue, it gives you a wide network to search out a problem or find the answer. I mean, it's just invaluable.
I realize that I like people who make food. Steve, it was really nice to talk to you today.
Hey, I appreciate it.
I'm headed up, and well, the ranch curd, don't run out before I get there, okay?
No. And French onion. We do a little bit.
Oh, my God. Oh. All right, I'm on my way. Thank you, Steve.
All right, man, thanks.
Take care.
You bet. Yep.
Them that's got shall have, them that's not shall lose. So the Bible said, and it still is news. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grade, Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Lots of friends, they're crowding round your door, but when you're gone and spending ends, they don't come no more. Rich relations give crust of bread and such, you can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Lots of friends, they're crowding round your door, but when you're gone and spending ends, they don't come no more. Rich relations give crust of bread and such, you can help yourself, but don't take too much. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. He just don't worry about nothing, 'cause he's got his own. Yes, he's got his own.
His birthday girl, Billie Holiday, on the anniversary of her birth, a Wednesday here. It's the 7th of April. It's Pirate Radio from Chicago. I'll try to slip in little bits of music that maybe we should occasionally play. And we'll do that. This is also the birthday, such as it goes, of the internet. 1969, the first, RFC went out, and that stands for request for comment. So we think that was the first, that was one computer calling to another computer. That happened on this day. I was thinking maybe we could do something. Feel free to shoot me an email, voicemail. Voicemail is 844-220-3300. Email is radioanything@gmail.com. I'm curious as to what you think your first computer was. Do you remember what that was? I was trying to make sense. Or maybe the first time you were on the internet, what you used, what device. I really, honest to God, I had an original iMac, and I still got that somewhere, the blue plastic. I remember that. We'll fool around with that, monkey doke. And while you're doing that, we have a large bird audience here for the morning program, Pirate Radio. Let me bring them up. Birds, you out there? There they are, birds. Birds, I'm talking about you. There they are. So we don't have any hummingbirds, as far as I know, out there. Maybe we do. The hummingbird is named after its pleasant humming sound when it hovers in front of flowers to feed but only now has it become how the has it become clear how the wing generates the hummingbird's namesake sound when it's beating rapidly. I don't want to hit you with math. 40 beats a second. Picture that. All right. Researchers from Eindhoven University, University of Technology, Stanford University, and Sarama meticulously observed hummingbirds, geez, get this, using 12 high-speed cameras, 6 pressure plates, and 2,176 microphones. The team of engineers succeeded in measuring the precise origin of the sound generated by the flapping wings of a flying animal for the first time. You're saying, Gary, do you happen to have a recording? Well, there they are. I'm going to shut up for a second. I want you to hear, this is the hummingbird. The hummingbird's hum originates from the pressure difference between the top side and the underside of the wings, which changes both in magnitude and orientation as the wings flap back and forth. And that's how airplanes fly. You probably knew that. So anyway, these pressure differences over the wings are essential because they furnish the net aerodynamic force that enables the hummingbird to lift off and hover. Hear that? I think this is a great way to end the show. I have one other sound effect, if we could. Since we did the cheese thing, I've been saving this little moment. So on behalf of Natasha Rodriguez, our producer, and all the hummingbirds, we have just cracked a new Glarus. Oh!
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying how do you do. They're really saying I love you. I hear babies cry, I watch them grow. They're like much more than I'll ever know. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I think to myself, what a wonderful world.